Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that Jesus says that he is our good shepherd. We thank you that we can trust you. We can follow you. We can follow your word. We can hear your voice by your spirit within us. And so I pray this morning that we would have a sense of your presence with us today. Lord Jesus, let us see you and hear you as our good shepherd, especially today as we talk about hearing the voice of our shepherd. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would hear your voice speaking within us today by your word and by your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you watch this video, you gotta remember that sheep are incredibly valuable. And we've been told that sheep are very intelligent, despite appearances that would indicate otherwise. My favorite is like the sheep with the bucket on its head. Like all the sheep are like, should we follow that one? Yeah, he's got an orange bucket. We should definitely follow that sheep. That's the sheep that we should be following, is the one with the bucket on its head. But sheep, you know, as you saw in that video, sheep are naturally followers. You could actually see it. Like the sheep's got a bucket on its head. Well, I guess we follow that sheep. He seems to know something we don't. So sheep are naturally followers. They stick together and they learn the voice of their shepherd. And it's the voice of the shepherd that should be guiding the sheep. And so if you were here last week, you'll know that we started to look at this conversation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, where he's telling the Pharisees that he is the good shepherd and that his sheep know his voice. So just as a refresher, we're going to pick up in John chapter 10, and I'm going to read the same passage that we read last week. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6 to start. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they run away from the stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Okay, so just to reiterate, one of the big concerns of the Pharisees was why all the people seem to be following Jesus. And so Jesus is explaining, if you haven't heard the sermon from last week, you should probably listen to it. This is part two, but it'll give you a little more context that I can't get into today. But one of the things that Jesus is telling the Pharisees is that the people follow him because he is their rightful shepherd. They recognize him and they recognize his voice. And as Jesus points out, they recognize his voice because they know him. They run away from the stranger because they don't know the stranger, but they already follow Jesus because they recognize him. And so Jesus is explaining to the Pharisees, this is why the people are following me, and this is why they're leaving behind some of the customs and the religious practices that you have built. They run away from the stranger. They know me, the shepherd. Now, I would say that sometimes sheep don't listen to their shepherd, right? And that's when they get themselves into trouble. They wander away from their shepherd and they get themselves into dangerous or stupid situations because they're following other sheep. Last week, I shared the story of how one sheep went over a cliff in the village of, I think it's Gavash in Turkey. One sheep went over the cliff, 1,500 other sheep followed it. Luckily, not all 1,500 sheep died because there was like a mattress at the bottom. So only about 450 sheep died. So fortunate for those other sheep. But there's so, you know, if you take that idea and you think about our world, there's so many people that we are tempted to follow. You know, it's always been this way. Like humans are always tempted to follow people who are charismatic or powerful or influential. But in the age of social media influencers, you literally have people being like and follow and subscribe to my page, right? When my kids are watching YouTube, all I ever hear is like, if you like this video, follow me for more. And you're like, oh my goodness, you're like literally like follow me. And you've got people telling you all sorts of things. And I don't know about you, but if I ever go on Instagram, my Instagram feed is filled with people trying to convince me of things. I've got people telling me that I've got to be eating a carnivore diet. So just eat meat, nothing but meat, only meat forever and always. That sounds unhealthy. I don't know. But they're like, this is how you're supposed to live. And I'm like, I don't know. Meat seems pretty rare in most parts of the country. So then you have other people that come on and they're like, actually, the carnivore diet will kill you. And then still others are trying to convince me that they've got a smoothie recipe that's going to keep cancer away forever. I get different theological perspectives, right? A voice who says, anyone who doesn't agree with my theological perspective is wrong, and you got to follow me and not those other people. And you can add to this, you've got political voices and the voices of the people who are paid to tell you their opinions on everything and tell you exactly why the world is so terrible and why you should be so angry and why you should be so afraid and aren't you angry about all the stuff that's going on. There are so many voices that we can listen to in our culture. And these voices tend to demand allegiance. And like I said, you can literally follow those people. You can hit a button that on their social media page that says follow, subscribe, like. All these voices want you to listen to what they're saying, and they want you to follow them. They're more successful the more followers they have. And perhaps some of these voices have truly found some good things and have some good advice. And perhaps some of them are like the sheep with a bucket on their head, and it's going to lead you right off the cliff. Add to these voices, we have internal voices, our own internal dialogue. And sometimes those internal voices are sort of also the voices of the people in our lives from our past or currently speaking to us. They either spoke positively or negatively to us. And we can then, our inner dialogue can also speak positively or negatively to ourselves. And so often I hear of the people who have, I have these constant negative, this constant negative inner dialogue, this voice within me that's negative. And the voice says, you're not good enough. You're not lovable. If people really knew you, they wouldn't like you. Whatever it is, they have this inner voice that is a powerful voice. But just because it's your inner voice doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's reliable. They don't always lead us to truth and to life. So Jesus is saying that he is the only voice who promises fullness of life. Jesus, as he continues to describe himself as the good shepherd, will go on to say in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the Pharisees have been wondering, why do so many people follow Jesus? Why does Jesus refuse to submit to their rules and their customs about the Sabbath and about religious tradition? And the answer, Jesus says, is because he alone gives fullness of life. This is what brings so many sheep to the great good shepherd. They recognize his voice of healing and compassion, his voice of grace and mercy, his voice of truth and conviction. Everywhere Jesus goes, he brings fullness of life. Our district superintendent at prayer retreat, it was one of the fastest spoken sermons I've ever heard in my life. The dude had 45 minutes of content that he delivered in 30 minutes. It was like nonstop content. But our district superintendent at prayer retreat very quickly took us through the Gospel of Mark, pointing out how in every chapter in the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Jesus brings fullness of life wherever he goes. And I was kind of fascinated by this. I was like, I've read Mark a lot, but just kind of putting it together, like all the ways that Jesus changes lives and brings fullness of life. Let me just walk you through this. Mark chapter 1, Jesus casts a demon out of a man, heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then heals numerous people of diseases and casts out demons. That's one chapter. Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals a paralyzed man, but not only does he heal them, he says, your sins are forgiven. He forgives the man's sins. That's fullness of life. Mark chapter 3, Jesus defies the Sabbath rules of the Pharisees and heals a man with a withered hand. Mark chapter 5, Jesus casts a legion of demons out of a man, heals Jairus' daughter, and heals a woman who's been sick for 12 years. Mark chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Fullness of life. And in Mark chapter 7, Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. That's just in the first 7 chapters of the Gospel of Mark. And of course, we know there's more than this. But the point being that everywhere Jesus goes, he brings life to the fullest. His entire life is showing people that in me, you can have full life. This is why the sheep follow his voice. He came to bring life and life abundant. And only the voice of Jesus leads to fullness of life. So why do people follow Jesus? Because he brings fullness of life. Jesus has the words of life. And more than just those external things that you're seeing, like the healing and the casting out of demons, there's this inner knowledge that the people who follow Jesus have that Jesus is healing us on a deep level. Sins are forgiven. Past wounds are redeemed and healed. Shame is removed and we become new creations, becoming the people we are always meant to be through our union with Jesus, our great good shepherd. He changes our perspective. He lets us see things in a new way. And so the people are not following Jesus because he is creating a slightly less burdensome religion. They're following him because their lives are radically changed. I'll give you another example. Look at the women who are reported to have followed Jesus, and not only followed him, but supported him financially. Luke records this. Luke says, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others. Why are these women following him? Why are they supporting him financially? They're doing this because they experienced total life change, because Jesus had radically changed them. He has given them fullness of life. So don't miss this. This is the key. Jesus himself is the life. He gives us of himself. We become united with him spiritually. We become new creations in Christ. We are given of life itself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he gives us of himself. And we are transformed then from the inside out. It says in Scripture that we are given a new heart, an awakened spirit, a knowledge of God's presence within us and with us. The Good Shepherd calls us to know him and be known by him. So there's this relational piece that is so crucial to this. As we move into verses 14 and to 16 of our text, Jesus continues saying, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that aren't of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. I want us to understand the full extent of what Jesus is saying when he's saying that he's the good shepherd and we are his sheep. We got to understand a little bit about what shepherding is like in the first century Palestine. So in those days, shepherding was an intimate occupation. You knew your sheep well. Most sheep were not being raised for meat or for sacrifice. Most were being raised for wool. And so a shepherd would have the same sheep in his flock years after year after year, and that's how the sheep would learn to recognize his voice. Now, the shepherd didn't drive his sheep forward like a cattle drive from pasture to pasture. He wasn't behind the sheep kind of cracking a whip or beating them with a stick or shouting at them. Here is how the shepherd would bring his sheep from pasture to pasture. He would call his sheep because they know his voice and say, sheep, 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 come. And then he would walk ahead of them, and they would follow him. And if they ever started to stray, he'd say, hey, sheep, and they would just keep following. And every time they kind of go off, he'd go, oh, sheep, 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 sheep. He doesn't beat them. He doesn't stand behind them and crack the whip. He just uses his voice, and he says, follow me. And of course, the sheep don't follow a stranger. They run from the stranger because they don't recognize the voice. And so what I want you to catch is this deep familiarity between the shepherd and his sheep. I also want you to understand that there's two kind of types of sheep pens in those days. In a rural place, you just have a small enclosure made of rock walls. But in a large town, like let's say the shepherd wanted to go into town and he wanted to kind of put his sheep in a safe place, there would often be a very large sheep pen with a professional gatekeeper who was paid to look after the sheep. And you'd bring your sheep into that pen and they would mix with all the other sheep. Okay, so you might have like 5 or 6 shepherds' sheep in there. There'd be hundreds of sheep in this pen. They'd all be mixed together. But when the shepherd came to get his sheep, he would simply go in because the gatekeeper would recognize him. And he'd say, hey, sheep. And his sheep would follow him out of the pen. The other sheep wouldn't because they say, I don't know that guy's voice. That guy's a stranger to me. So they would only follow their shepherd. And even if someone tried to dress like their shepherd and, you know, be an imposter and try and steal the sheep, sheep would recognize, that's not the voice of our shepherd. I'm not going to follow a stranger. I'm staying right here. And so deep was this familiarity that shepherds would often even have nicknames for their sheep based on their characteristics. Names like Long Nose or Grumpy or Black Ears or Silly One or Buckethead or whatever, right? The point we want to pick up on here is that there's this deep familiarity, this deep affection that Jesus has for us. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as I know my Father, and the Father knows me. So Jesus knows us just as well as he knows the Father. That is intimate knowledge. Jesus knows us in profound ways. He knows our past. He knows our pain. He knows our hurts. He knows our disappointments. He knows our needs, and he knows our wants. He knows what we are good at. He knows what we are passionate about. He knows what makes us laugh. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us in the most intimate of relational ways. And one commentator, Kent Hughes, wonders if Jesus has affectionate nicknames for us. Perhaps fearful or grumpy or faithful. It might be something to ask Jesus next time you're praying. You got a nickname for me? Hope it's a nice one. There's so many ways. Let's talk about the voice of Jesus. There's so many ways in which we can hear the voice of our shepherd. But we know that prayer is, of course, our main avenue of conversation. And given the relational language that Jesus uses all the time about those who follow him, I think it is worth noting that prayer is not something you do to get something done. It's a loving conversation with the one who loves you. That's a thought that Chuck Davis had at our prayer retreat, and I think that that is worth thinking about for a moment. Prayer is not something you do to get something done. It's a loving conversation with the one who loves you. I think that's a really simple statement. I think it's very profound. I think so often we slip into seeing prayer as, you know, something we ought to do or something we're doing to achieve something, to get something accomplished. Like, we can't do it, but God can. And as much as there's truth to that, that's not the full extent of prayer. It's a conversation. And so Jesus is the good shepherd who wants to be known, and he wants to know you. This is where true fullness of life is found. It is in being fully known and fully loved. Tim Keller once said, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is what it is to be loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. To be fully known and fully loved is fullness of life. The good shepherd gives this to us because we know his voice and he knows his sheep. He knows everything about us. And our greatest fear is, like, if people really knew me, they wouldn't love me. Or that when people love me, it's because they don't really know me. And Jesus is the one who can absolutely say, I absolutely know every single thing about you and I absolutely love you. That's the fullness of life of the good shepherd. And now you might be thinking, well, that's fine for all of you, you sheep who stick to the pasture land and don't run off the cliff or wander into the thorn bushes, but I doubt the good shepherd would love me. I don't think he would call me because you don't know how far I have strayed. But remember that Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I got to bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And so right here, I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is actually talking about the non-Jewish peoples, the Gentiles. The Gentiles as a whole, though, were considered to be, you know, great sinners and unclean and completely, like, beyond redemption. But these Gentiles considered to be unclean sinners will also, Jesus says, hear and recognize the voice of Jesus. They'll be brought into the sheepfold. There'll be one flock and one shepherd. No more dividing lines or barriers. All who follow the voice of Jesus will be his sheep. But I think we can also take these words of Jesus and apply it to the wayward sheep that the Pharisees had rejected and cast out. The Pharisees are always muttering about Jesus about something. They're always grumbling in the background, right? Every time Jesus does something, there's a Pharisee who's grumbling about it. And so one time, the Pharisees are muttering to themselves as Jesus teaches the crowds, and it's a crowd that's full of, apparently, a lot of, in their mind, sinners and tax collectors, and they mutter amongst themselves, "This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and even eats with them." And in response to their muttering and their grumbling, Jesus tells three parables of the lost being found. One of those is the famous parable of the lost sheep. Jesus says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and he says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The whole mission of Jesus is to find the sheep who've wandered astray, who've strayed off the good pasture, not to beat them into submission, but to joyfully carry them home. Jesus says he has come to seek and save the lost. Fullness of life is found in knowing our shepherd's voice and in being known by him. Like all sheep, we can go astray. We might be tempted to follow other sheep into dangerous areas, so we need to become sheep who know our shepherd's voice, following him to the places of green pasture and peaceful rest. And so as we're going to come a little bit towards the end of the sermon here, I just want to spend some time talking about how do we hear the shepherd's voice? Because Jesus says in verse 27, that his sheep recognize his voice. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We know his voice and we follow him because we know what his voice sounds like. And I think this statement right here of Jesus has lost some of its power or it's been watered down in the church to mean something more transactional and less relational. What I mean by that is this. I think sometimes we think that knowing Jesus' voice and following him simply refers to the day we placed our faith in Jesus and refers to now, okay, so one time at some point in my life, I heard the voice of Jesus and I followed him. And now I live a moral life, or I try and live morally correct. And as much as there's a little bit of truth to that, like you obviously heard the voice of Jesus, and now you try and follow him by, you know, just seeing what Jesus commands of us, it's not nearly the relational or intimate picture that we're getting here. It takes time to recognize a voice. And so the picture that Jesus is painting when he calls himself the good shepherd and we are his sheep is this image of a shepherd who is constantly with his flock, constantly speaking, watching over the flock. Again, go back to how a shepherd leads his sheep. Come on, sheep. He sees that sheep going astray. Oh, not over there. You got to follow me over here. Oh, not over there. You got to follow me over here. It's not this aloof shepherd who's sitting at the inn in the village going, okay, my sheep are out there somewhere doing something. I don't know what they're doing. He's right there with his sheep. Jesus is right there with you. He's constantly speaking. And so it implies regular guidance, regular times of hearing the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd. And I've met Christians who sincerely wonder if they've ever heard the voice of Jesus. Now, I want to be really clear here. Hearing the audible voice of Jesus is a very, very rare thing. I can think of maybe two trustworthy people who I know of who've heard the audible voice of Jesus like once or maybe twice in their whole lives. So I'm not really talking about the audible voice of Jesus, although that can happen. Those stories are incredible. And you want to make sure it's people you trust. Like, I've had good friends of mine who are like, I literally heard the voice of Jesus. I'm like, I don't have any reason to doubt you. But for those of you who wonder if you've ever heard the voice of Jesus, and not audibly, but I can assure you that you have heard the voice of Jesus. You probably just didn't recognize his voice. This is so often what it is. Like, we know the voice of Jesus. We just don't recognize that it's the voice of Jesus. So let me ask you a few questions to help you ascertain, like, have you really heard the voice of Jesus? And just reflect on your answers to these. When you made the decision to follow Jesus, what happened in you that made you think or feel that you needed to do that? Has there ever been a time when a passage of scripture you were reading seemed to be like directed right to you or a particular situation or circumstance you were going through? Did a verse seem to pop out at you and just speak in a new way? Have you ever been reading scripture when suddenly a thought came to you that helped you understand the passage in a way you hadn't understood it before? Have you ever heard a sermon that just seemed directed right at you, speaking directly to something you were going through? Have you ever felt a prompting, a nudge, or an urgency to do or not do something? Many believers have experienced at least one, but usually all of these things. So often the voice of Jesus is that quiet whisper within us, that knowledge of what we ought to do, an urgency to pray for someone or to visit someone, or a sermon or a passage of scripture that gives us new insight, new inspiration, encouragement, or even conviction that something needs to change. As I said, the voice of Jesus is seldom a voice from the sky shouting down to us, but there is the consistent whisper of the Spirit within us. Does the Spirit live within you? Yes. Does Jesus have a relationship with you? Yes. Will he speak to you? Absolutely. But it's so often the gentle whisper of the Spirit, and we usually just have to take time to listen. I think so often we're following the voice of our shepherd without even recognizing we're hearing his voice. But I would say it's really cool when we start to see all the ways that Jesus is speaking to us. Fullness of life is knowing that Jesus is always with us by his Spirit, that he's always leading us, that he's always speaking, and that we can know his voice. And so as we close today, I want to walk us through some practices, actually just one practice, but I'll have a few more for you later, that will help us recognize the voice of Jesus by his Spirit through his word. Fullness of life is Jesus himself within us by his Spirit, hearing the voice of our shepherd as we go through this life. It could be a voice of encouragement, a voice of correction, but most importantly, it's a voice which affirms the love of God the Father for his children. And so one of the best ways to start recognizing the voice of Jesus is just to incorporate times of listening in our practice of prayer. We might not always sense the voice of Jesus, but I think it's valuable for us to allow room for Jesus to speak. And so if we're saying that prayer is not something we do to get something done, but prayer is a loving conversation with the God who loves us, then we should probably take some time to listen to what our Father in heaven or what our Lord Jesus may be saying to us by the Holy Spirit. And so in my own prayer practice, something I've found helpful in starting to listen to the voice of Jesus is just asking questions. And one of the questions I ask, I think it's my go-to question, is, what do you want me to be thankful for today? And as you do this exercise, I'm going to lead you through it in a minute, but as you do this exercise, you might think, is this just my voice? Is it really the voice of Jesus? And I would say, don't get too hung up on that. We're simply inviting Jesus to speak to our hearts. If we think it's just our own voice speaking, that's fine. It's still good to give thanks for what God has done and reflect on his goodness. What we're really doing is we're giving time and space. We're giving opportunity for Jesus to surprise us. We might not always hear his voice. That's okay. It's okay if you don't always hear his voice. I'm always suspicious of people like, I always hear from the Lord. And I'm like, really? That's incredible. Because I often still have a hard time discerning what is Jesus and what is my own voice. But I want to give space. I want to give time. I want to give opportunity for me to hear what Jesus might be saying. I'll just give you an example before we jump into this of one of the first times I did this and how it just gives opportunity for Jesus to surprise us. So one of the first times I did this, I asked, what do you want me to be thankful for? And I had all these thoughts going through my mind, right? The church was doing well at the time. Lori had a good job. We had purchased a home. And I had all these things I was thinking about, like, wow, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And then a thought came out of nowhere. Thank me for your daughter. I was like, where did that come from? So at this time, Lori was pregnant with Ava. We knew we were having a girl, but we hadn't even picked a name out for her yet. And I wasn't really thinking about the baby that was to come. That just wasn't on my radar. And all of a sudden, there's this strong thought, thank me for your daughter. And as thankful as I was to have a daughter, I also wanted to ask why. Like, what exactly? Like, yes, I should be thankful I'm having a daughter, but is there more to this? Why? What specifically about her? And I wrote down about a half a page worth of things that I felt like the Lord was saying, this is your daughter. You need to be thankful for her. And I wrote down this thing, and certainly Ava's name, Ava Elise, comes partially from that, because Ava is a variation of Zoe, which means life, and Elise is a variation on Elizabeth, which means dedicated to God. So out of that comes her name, Ava Elise, life dedicated to God. All that to say, the voice of Jesus will surprise us. And it's a really good sign when that thought that comes in is like, I never would have thought of that. Or that just wasn't on my radar at all. That's a good sign it's the voice of Jesus. But I want to give you a few pointers. First, Jesus never contradicts the words of Scripture. You can't come to someone and be like, Jesus told me I don't have to do da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, well, it says it in the Scriptures. You can't. He doesn't violate his own Scripture. That's insane. Secondly, Jesus does not condemn us. Condemnation is a voice that tells you there's no hope for you, that you're miserable and you're terrible and you'll always be that way. Jesus does convict. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction reminds us that there is a better life and that what we're engaging in is robbing us of the fullness of life Jesus offers. So sometimes Jesus will interrupt our time. If we give Jesus opportunity to speak, sometimes he'll come in and say, hey, that thing you're doing, not leading you to fullness of life. We're going to need to cut that out. Follow me. It's not condemnation. It's fullness of life. It's conviction. So with all that in mind, I want to just take a moment this morning to pray with this question in mind. Jesus, what do you want me to thank you for? And if you want, you can also follow that up with why. I'm going to give you about a minute to just pray to yourselves. If you've got a journal, you can journal it or type it out on your phone. I always find it's good to write these things down. If you don't have that, I know I didn't prepare you for it, so like you can just do it in your mind. But it's just something you can start incorporating into your own time, just a time of listening. So about 60 seconds. Just enter into a time of prayer. That's not a lot of time. I'll call the worship team up as we close. But I just wanted to lead you into that as something that maybe you want to start incorporating into your own practice of prayer. Just give time and space for Jesus to speak. It doesn't even have to be this question. You can say, Jesus, is there anything specific you want to say to me? Jesus, is there someone I need to pray for that I hadn't thought of? Jesus, is there something you need me to do this week that I wouldn't have considered unless you had led me to it? You can ask questions like, Jesus, how much do you love me? Jesus, do you have a nickname for me? It's not always going to be the voice. Like, you got to discern some of this stuff. If you hear something weird, go and talk to some trusted Christian people. But I just think it's so important to give time and space to allow the Spirit to speak to us, to allow the voice of Jesus to speak through his Spirit into us. One of the most valuable things we can do is just allow room for God to speak to us, to allow the Holy Spirit to use scripture or dedicated prayer times to speak directly to our hearts or our minds, something we need to hear. Our Growing Together materials, if you know about that, that's kind of our discipleship track. We've got all these different spiritual practices in the section titled Spiritual Life, practices of prayer that can help us use prayer as a conversation and help us create space to listen to Jesus. So we've got podcasts and worksheets. You can see all the different worksheets there. We also have podcasts that kind of walk you through each one of those things. Would love if you took a chance to do that. So you can see it up on the screen there. Here's a QR code. That'll take you right to that website with all those worksheets, but we also have podcasts to kind of explain it as well. I just want to invite you to make use of that. It's probably the most valuable spiritual practice that I've done in my life is just creating space and opportunity for Jesus to speak. I don't always hear his voice, or I don't always sense his voice. I think he's always speaking. I think I'm not always listening. Or sometimes there's just some things that my mind is racing and I'm not really hearing. But there's been very profound moments in my walk with Jesus where I've slowed down, I've taken the time to listen, and he has spoken something so profound to me. It's altered the course of my life for very, very good ways. So I just invite you to begin that. Let me pray over you and then let's worship together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you are not a distant and aloof God, but that you indwell us by your Spirit, that your voice, even today, is speaking. And I pray over all of us gathered here today that you would soften our hearts, that you would open our ears, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what it is you are speaking to us. I pray that we would trust you, that we would trust that you are a shepherd who speaks, that you are a shepherd who leads us to green pastures. I pray that we would not fear, but that we would enter into your presence, that we would hear your voice. And Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to hear your voice. We thank you for that. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.